Chapter 2 Twisted metal shrieks by overhead. Clumps of dirt and ash batter my face. The wind whips at what feels like 100 miles per hour, and I throw everything I have into it. Blaster fire sears across my legs. I ignore it. A jagged strut from an exploded Mogadorian skimmer crashes into the dirt next to me. Only a few feet closer, and I would have been impaled. I ignore that, too. I'll die here, if that's what it takes. Across an empty pit where the sanctuary used to stand, Cetricus Ra staggers up the ramp of his warship. I can't let him make it back on board the Anubis. I shove out with my telekinesis, and I don't care about the consequences. I hurl every goddamn thing at him, and he pushes back. I feel his power strain against mine like two invisible tidal waves crashing together, sending up a spray of metal parts and dirt and stone. Die. Die. Die! Sarah Hart is next to me. She screams something into my ear that I can't hear over the roar of the battle. She grabs my shoulder and starts to shake me. Die! 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 Six! I gasp and wake up. It isn't Sarah shaking my shoulder. It's Lexa, our pilot, seated behind the controls. Through the windshield, I can barely make out the peaceful countryside zipping by underneath us. In the glow of the control panel, I can see a look of concern on Lexa's face. "What is it?" I ask, still groggy, as I gently push her hand away. "You were talking in your sleep," Lexa replies, and goes back to looking straight ahead, our flight path mapped out on the screen before her. My feet are up on the dashboard, my knees tucked in close to my chest. My toes are all pins and needles. I set my feet down on the floor and sit up straight, then strain my eyes into the darkness outside. Just as I do, the countryside drops away and is replaced by the blue-black water of Lake Erie. "How close are we to the coordinates Malcolm sent us?" I ask Lexa. "Close," she replies. "About 10 minutes out." "And you're sure we lost them?" "I'm sure, Six. I ditched the last of the skimmers over Texas. The Anubis broke off before that. Seemed like the warship didn't want to keep up the chase." I rub my hands across my face and through my sticky tangle of hair. The Anubis stopped chasing us. Why? Because they had to rush Cetricus Ra somewhere? Because he was dying? Or maybe already dead? I know I hurt him. I saw that metal bar pierce that bastard's chest. Not many could survive that injury. But this is Cetricus Ra. There's no telling how fast he heals or what technology he's got at his disposal to nurse him back to health. It went straight into his heart, though. I saw it. I know I got him. "He has to be dead," I say quietly. "He has to be." I unstrap from the co-pilot's seat and stand up. Lexa grabs hold of my forearm before I can leave the cockpit. "Six. You did what you had to do," she says firmly. "What you thought was best. No matter what happens, if Cetricus Ra is dead or alive..." "If he's alive, then Sarah died for nothing," I reply. "Not for nothing," Lexa says. "She pulled you out of there. She saved you." "She should have saved herself." "She didn't think so. She..." "Look, I hardly knew the girl, but it seemed to me that she knew what was at stake. She knew that we're fighting a war, and in war, there are sacrifices, casualties. Easy for us to say. We're alive." I bite my lip and pull my arm away from Lexa. "You think..." "Shit, Lexa. You think any of that cold-ass pragmatic talk is going to make it easier for the others? For John?" "Has anything ever been easy for any of you?" Lexa asks, looking up at me. "Why would it start now?" This is the end six. One way or the other, we're closing in on the end. You do what has to be done, and you feel bad about it later. I exit the cockpit with Lexa's words ringing in my ears. I want to feel anger. Who is she to tell me how to act? The Moogs weren't hunting her. She hid for years without ever trying to contact us. She only showed up now because she realized how desperate our situation had become, that it was all hands on deck, telling me what to feel. Thing is, she's right. She's right, because the truth is, I wouldn't change what I did. I'd take my shot at Cetricus Ra, even knowing what would happen to Sarah. Potentially billions of lives are on the line. I had to do it. In the main cabin, someone has used the touchscreen walls to command cots to emerge from the floor. Those are the same cots we slept on all those years ago when we first came to Earth. I carved my number into one of them. Sarah's body rests on that one, because the universe has a sick sense of humor. Mark sits next to Sarah's cot, chin against his chest, asleep. His face is puffy and he's covered in dried blood, like pretty much all of us. He hasn't left Sarah's side since it all went down. Frankly, I'm glad he's finally asleep. I couldn't handle many more of the accusatory looks the guy has been throwing around. I know he's angry and hurting, but I can't wait to get off this cramped ship and away from him. Bernie Kosar lies on the floor next to Mark. He watches me emerge from the cockpit and quietly stands. The beagle comes over and nuzzles against my leg, whining quietly. I reach down to scratch absently behind his ears. "Thanks, boy," I whisper, and BK whines again, softly. I move farther back. Ella is curled up on one of the cots, her face turned towards the wall. My gaze lingers on her for a second, just long enough to make sure that she's still breathing. Ella was the first person I watched die yesterday, except she somehow managed to come back to life. When she tossed herself into that pillar of Loric energy at the sanctuary, she broke the charm that Cetricus Ra had placed on her. Apparently, there are side effects to bathing in a bunch of Loric energy and briefly dying. Ella's returned to us as, well, I'm not entirely sure. At the very back of the ship, I find Adam sitting on the edge of another cot. Looking at the dark circles around his eyes and his increasingly pale skin, I know for sure that Adam hasn't slept. Instead, he's been keeping his eye on Marina. She's strapped down on the same cot Adam sits on, her eyes closed, her face horribly bruised, blood still crusted around her nostrils. Cetricus Ra smashed her into the ground over and over, and she hasn't regained consciousness since. She's holding on, though, and hopefully John will be able to heal whatever's wrong with her. Adam manages a weak smile as I sit down across from him. Another one of our wounded friends is bundled in his arms. Dust was nearly killed back at the sanctuary. Although he's still twitchy and weak, Dust has regained some of his movement and has at least managed to change his shape into that of a wolf cub. Not exactly ferocious, but a step in the right direction. "Hey, Doc," I say to Adam, keeping my voice quiet. He snorts. "You'd be surprised how little practical medical training we Mogadorians receive. It's not a priority when most of your soldiers are disposable." Adam turns his head to regard Marina. "Her pulse is strong, though. Even I can tell that." I nod. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. I reach across the gap between us and scratch Dust on his nose. One of his back legs starts to pump in response, though I'm not sure if it's from enjoyment or the lingering effects of his electroshock. "He's looking a little better," I say to Adam.
"Yeah,
He'll be howling at the moon in no time, Adam replies, looking me over as he does. What about you? How are you feeling?
Like shit.
I'm sorry I couldn't do more, Adam says. When the battle at the sanctuary came to an end, it was Adam and Mark who got Marina onto Lexa's ship before Cetricus Ra could finish her off. That's how it came to be me and Sarah facing Cetricus Ra alone.
You did enough. You saved Marina. Got her back here.
My gaze involuntarily drifts towards Sarah. Adam clears his throat to get my attention back. His eyes lock onto mine, wide and steady. That wasn't your fault, he says firmly. Hearing that doesn't make it easier. It still needed saying. Now it's Adam's turn to break eye contact. He looks over at Ella's huddled body and frowns. I hope you killed him, Six. The thing is, knowing you, if you'd have known the consequences, you would have stopped. I don't interrupt Adam, even though what he's saying about me might not be true. It's weird to feel hope that I killed Cetricus Ra at the same time as guilt for what happened to Sarah, all of it worsened by an undercurrent of dread that I accomplished nothing at all. I'm a mess.
I respect that about you guys, Adam continues. Most of you guard. It's like they built strength and compassion into you. It's the opposite for my people. I would have pressed on, no matter what happened.
Back at the sanctuary, Adam had a moment when he'd got the drop on Cetricus Ra. This was back before Ella broke the charm that bound her life to her evil great-grandfather's. Even knowing that it would kill Ella, Adam went right for Cetricus Ra's jugular.
Your people, Adam continues after a moment, you consider the costs. You mourn your losses. You try to do what's right. I envy that. The ability to know what's right without having to fight against your nature.
You're more like us than you realize, I tell him.
I'd like to think that, Adam replies. But sometimes I don't know.
We all regret things, I say. It's not a matter of nature. It's a matter of moving on and being better. Adam opens his mouth to respond, but no words come out. He's looking past me. A soft blue glow emanates from over my shoulder. I turn around to see Ella has sat up on her cot. She still crackles with lauric energy, her brown eyes completely replaced by roiling orbs of cobalt blue. When she speaks, her voice has that odd echoing quality, like it did when Legacy was speaking through her.
You don't have to feel guilty, she tells Adam. I knew what you were going to do as soon as I got off the Anubis. I was rooting for you.
Adam stares at Ella. I didn't even know what I was going to do when you got off the Anubis.
Oh, you did.
Adam looks away, clearly uncomfortable under Ella's stare. If he's relieved that Ella let him off the hook for what happened at the sanctuary, it doesn't show.
And Six, she turns to me now. As she left this world, Sarah thought about many things, mostly about John and her family, but also she thought about you, and how she was glad you would be here to take care of John and the rest of us.
You were in her head when she died? I ask Ella, still trying to get a grip on her new and expanded legacies. She pinches the bridge of her nose and shuts her eyes, which causes the room to get a little darker.
I'm still getting used to what I can do. It is hard sometimes to tune out.
Is that all she was thinking about?
The question comes from Mark. I'm not sure how long he's been awake and listening to our conversation. He looks at Ella with desperate hope, and I notice that his lower lip shakes. Ella looks back at him coolly,
and I wonder if some emotional wiring got fried during her encounter with Legacy.
"What do you really want to ask me, Mark?" Ella says calmly.
Nothing. It's not important," Mark replies, looking back down at the floor.
"You crossed her mind too, Mark," Ella says.
Mark swallows hard when he hears this and nods, trying not to show any emotion. Studying Ella, I'm not sure if she's telling the truth or just trying to make Mark feel better. Her electric eyes are unreadable. "We're here," Lexa announces over the intercom. "I'm bringing us down."
Lexa lands the ship in a wide-open field next to a small log cabin.
Looking out the window at the place, it's hard to believe that this is where the government is planning its counter-attack against the Mogadorians. I guess that's sort of the point.
With the sun just beginning to rise over Lake Erie, pink flares of light bend across the surface of the water. It's a tranquil scene and would look totally like some hippie yoga retreat, if not for the presence of the armed soldiers and their Humvees camouflaged in the tree line. There are two groups waiting for us outside the cabin, and even in my rattled state, it's easy to read the situation based on the distance between the factions. The first group is our people: John, Sam, Nine, Malcolm, and a girl who I recognize from Ella's telepathic summit, but whose name I don't know. Behind them, separated by about 30 yards, is a contingent of military personnel who watch our ship with keen interest. It seems to me that even though the military is working together with the guard, they're still very much keeping an eye on us. Together, but apart. In that group of soldiers, I recognize Agent Walker. As I watch, she nervously stubs out a cigarette and turns to answer a question posed by the older man standing next to her. He's clearly in charge. The guy sports a silver buzz cut and a leathery tan, like they just pulled him away from the golf course. He looks like one of those senior citizens who's still out there running marathons, all rigid posture and stringy muscles. He wears formal military attire covered with a stupid amount of medals. He's surrounded by a half-dozen soldiers with assault rifles. For our protection, I'm sure. Two guys in his retinue stand out. They're twins, if I'm not mistaken, and look to be about my age. Too young to really be enlisted soldiers, although they wear the starched, light blue uniforms of cadets. I observe all this during the few seconds it takes Lexa to extend the exit ramp and power down the ship. Surveying our surroundings is a good distraction, a way to avoid looking at John. His face is a mask, his gaze icy, and I still haven't figured out what the hell I'm going to say to him. Our battle-ravaged group slowly walks down the ramp. I hear mutterings from our military observers and can't help noticing the cringing looks on our friends' faces. We're covered in blood and dirt, beat up, exhausted. Plus, Ella is giving off that faint glow of Loric energy. We look like hell. Malcolm's got a gurney, and he pushes it across the grass to meet Adam, who is carrying Marina in his arms. It takes me a second to notice that Mark hasn't gotten off the ship. He's staying with Sarah's body. Before I can stop him, Sam has me wrapped in a hug. Only when his arms are around me do I realize how badly I'm shaking. "You're all right now," he whispers into my tangled mop of hair.
I steel myself, trying not to break down even though I very badly want to, and wiggle out of Sam's arms. I look towards John, but he's already standing over Marina, his hands glowing softly as he holds her head. There's a look of deep concentration on his face as he heals her, and it takes so long that I start to hold my breath, worried that the damage Cetricus Ra inflicted is too great. After a long moment where everyone watches in total silence, John steps back with a drained sigh. Marina shifts a bit on her gurney but doesn't wake up.
Is she? Adam starts to ask.
It was bad, but she'll be okay, John replies, his voice completely neutral. She just needs some rest. With that, John steps away from the group and walks up the ramp of the ship.
John, hold on, I hear myself say, even though I've got no idea what my follow-up is going to be.
He pauses and looks over his shoulder at me, although he doesn't meet my eyes.
I'm sorry that we couldn't, that I couldn't protect her, I tell him, my voice getting shaky and, even though I'm mortified to hear it, a little desperate.
I swear I killed him, John. I put one right in his goddamn heart.
John nods, and I can see a vein in his neck twitching, like he's trying to control himself.
We aren't to blame for the actions of our enemies, John replies to me, and the line sounds canned, practiced, like he knew this conversation was coming.
Without another word, he climbs the ramp and disappears into Lexa's ship. A somber silence follows. The military personnel return to the cabin, which must have some pretty major underground levels to accommodate them all, and Nine starts to lead our group inside after them. I gaze after John, Sam lingering at my side.
I'm sorry, Six, but you didn't.
It's Ella. She stands next to me, looking up at me with those eyes empty of everything but swirling Loric energy. I must look shaky again, because Sam puts his arm around me, holding me up.
Didn't what?
Kill him, Ella replies. You hurt him bad, but I can still feel him out there. Cetricus Raw is alive.